Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson. Hi, Corinne.
Hi, how are you? So we got a fun show today, but an incredibly important one, because today we're going to attempt to disabuse you or to correct the information that testosterone is just a sex hormone. And that is something that's been put forth, and it's made testosterone sort of a pariah hormone, and it has to be controlled, and whereas it's an essential piece of a hormone balance in males and in females. We know that when females are hormonally balanced, they're at their best. They can think better. They have more energy. They can function better. Their whole life is better. They feel more positive about being alive. They have better muscle tone. They have better skin tone. Well, guess what? When males' hormones are balanced, they have the same effect. They have better muscle tone. They think better. They have more relationship to the world. You know, testosterone affects the brain. It affects libido, mood, spatial awareness, aggression, appropriate aggression in the world, and ambition and drive. When it's balanced, it protects the heart. It protects against bad cholesterol. And here we're all walking around with low testosterone and taking statins, when testosterone could be one of an important mediating factor for balancing our cholesterol. It raises HDL, the good part of the cholesterol in our body. It works on the liver. It works on sexual organs, which we have been told is its main function, but it's one of multiple functions. It works on the bone marrow, and it stimulates stem cells. So what does it do? It's keeping you young, okay? And muscles increase in strength, mass, volume, and kidneys. It works with the kidneys and helps the body, stimulates the body to make red blood cells, which increases oxygen and oxygen uptake. And it works with the bones to create bone density. So what do you think of that, Carol? Did I give a pretty good summary?
Pretty good. One of the things you can easily tell when somebody's low testosterone is they're shrinking and withering away. One of the big problems as we age is sarcopenia, that loss of muscle mass and bone mass. We're literally shrinking. So anybody can diagnose this. And this can be improved with using testosterone. Then I'm also reminded when you talked about cholesterol, one of the reasons cholesterol goes high is not in some kind of effort to block your arteries. It's going high because your testosterone and maybe some of the other hormones are low, and your body raises cholesterol to help you make more. And so when you slap a statin onto that situation,
Now
you're in real trouble. Your body cannot make your hormones. So you mentioned how cardioprotective. Yeah, cardioprotective. Testosterone is hugely cardioprotective. Now you've just stopped your body's ability to make more. What a criminal idea, in my opinion.
Exactly. So I'd like to, first of all, I'll tell you where we're going today, and this is kind of exciting. We're going to discuss, you know, we've said this for years now, but we're going to discuss it in more detail, how we in our home with herbs and nutrients and lifestyle can build up our own natural testosterone. And that's pretty exciting because so many medical people are afraid to prescribe testosterone. They're watched, consequently, they're watched, and their scripts are watched. And if they give out too much testosterone, they have a problem with their licenses. So what we need to do is be able to figure out how in our own lives, in our own home, we can balance and create our own hormone balance. And it's real. We can. We've said it for years that hormones are directly related to lifestyle and lifestyle habits and nutrients and food. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But we're going to also ask you to call in because we want to hear from you. One of the greatest pleasures we have is hearing from you. And the number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And we'd love to hear what you've got to say. I want to discuss quickly, just very quickly, go over what happens. And mostly today we're going to be focusing on males, but let's not forget that females are in this picture also. Women need testosterone. Without testosterone, we see very similar effects, and it's a much lower dose. But women need testosterone to protect their bones, to protect their minds. They know that people with higher testosterone levels do better on testing and brain function testing. They know it, males and females, not just one or the other. So when we talk about testosterone, today we're going to focus on males, but it is a combination. It's not one or the other. So when testosterone is decreased, what we're looking at is we're looking at anxiety and depression. How many men do we see that are experiencing that? Body fat, incorrect accumulation, an obese belly or a big butt, almost like a female, or breasts in males. Elevated LDL cholesterol, and that's the cholesterol, which I'm going to say something that I don't totally agree with, but many of us, it's the bad cholesterol. And then fibromyalgia, joint low back pain. Wow. And then we've got dry eye syndrome, and we've discussed that. Just putting a drop of testosterone on your eyelids for a week and the dryness of the eyes goes away. Pardon?
I've seen people get relief in hours with that.
It's amazing.
It's just amazing. I mean, not total relief, but amazing relief. Very, very quickly.
Go on.
There's another thing about testosterone. It's in charge of all the protein synthesis in your body. It's the director. And so we know when we eat protein, our gut has to digest it and break it down to amino acids. Well, under the direction of testosterone, every single protein in your body is made. And one of a real key issues that hasn't been mentioned yet is your immune system. All your immune molecules and cytokines and this and that are all proteins, and your body has to make that, and it makes it at the direction of testosterone. So it's quite remarkable. For good health, you need a good level of testosterone. Once I was at a conference And this was with men. The lecture was talking about when you do a serum test for testosterone, and he broke it into quintiles, like five ranges. And as it turned out, at the bottom of the range, there are all sorts of health problems. If you were in the top fifth of this range, you had no cardiac disease, no diabetes, no muscle problems, and it just went on and on and on. So why aren't we striving to keep our testosterone levels good? And what are some of the things that are antagonizing our testosterone? So we'll be talking about that. So Corinne.
What you just said is so essential and so important. But you know what? We always give our power to those who we consider or have put themselves forward as experts. We give them our power. And then they say to us, oh, you don't need that. That's not necessary. Oh, you don't need that. That's not necessary. But in actuality, when we take our own power back and we realize that we're in control and we can do this ourselves and we can make it work, it's a pretty exciting transformation that happens in your life. More focus, more energy, better sleep. I had a man once that came into my office, and we stood up next to each other, and we were looking at each other eye to eye. I'm 5'5", on my good days, 5'6", on my bad days. Right in
what,
there.
What kind of shoes?
And depending on, and socks. What kind of socks? And we were looking eye to eye, and he told me that he was 5'11". He was an older man. He had been 5'11". He lost 6 inches. No, 5'11", 5'5", no, okay, 5 inches.
Yeah, no, you were right, six inches.
He lost 6 inches. I couldn't believe it. I said, is there a mistake? Did I hear you wrong? He was just shrinking, and it's not necessary. It's not necessary. You can keep your joints, you can keep your muscles, and you can keep your bones strong so they don't shrink on you, and you become a shadow of yourself. And so that's what we started working with him, and we started looking at his hormones and attempting to create balances. And we did pretty well, I must tell you. He felt very good. So how would we go about to increase testosterone in our life and in our lifestyles? Carol, do you have an idea?
Yes. We both listened to a lecture by Dr. Clearfield, and a lot of this material comes from this presentation he did for allergy research just a few weeks ago, but it's a lecture he's given many times, how to increase your own hormones naturally, or how to decrease the amount of hormone you use. So for testosterone, first of all, he talked about exercise. He talked about high intensity training. Now, in my mind, this is when you train, you like go out all out in some aerobic exercise for as many seconds as you can, or like a minute, and get one, and then you about 9 times. He's for 2 to 5. I would say it can also, high intensity exercise can, and core testosterone. So there's a fine line here someplace. Corinne, do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, lots. It's attitude. It's complete attitude. It's how you think of it's just like if I was put in a position, I would be under high cortisol, high stress. But if I wanted and had to work out that hard, that was many years ago, but had to work out that hard, it would be challenge. So okay. We find our spot, our sweet spot, where things are not stressing us out. Although without stress, your muscles aren't going to stress, your bones aren't going to stay strong. We saw that with the astronauts when they lost 11% of males, 11% of their bone mass in just 3-4 months. But I think it's got a lot to do with attitude. You know, positive attitude that, like, you're going for something, you're going to grab something and make it yours and help you. And that will change your cortisol level hard, and you're physically stressing your body. But another thing that you need to increase testosterone, and I don't want you to kill the messenger here, is you need and the most effective form of proteins for building testosterone is animal protein. Meats, eggs, chicken, salmon, tuna increase testosterone production. And that's shown through blood tests, multiple blood tests. So that's real. Just like I said, don't kill the messenger.
So this invites controversy.
And then, you know, for years, Carol, we recommended low-fat diets.
Yep.
So we, not we, I never did. I never did. Even when I started, I always agreed with fats. But the
society
recommended, and the government recommended low-fat diets. And what we found that...
Dean Ornish did too.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Remember that 3%
fat? And Pritikin, no oil at all. And they had certain degrees of successes with it. But maybe for a limited period, but those fats are essential, and they're essential for keeping a balance in our hormone level. So avocados, nuts, walnuts, olive oil, and fatty fish are essential, even some saturated fats, for our ability to boost or maintain even our, to maintain our testosterone levels. What else, Carol? What do you think?
Okay, we already talked about reducing stress.
That's essential.
And
reducing stress can be an attitude.
Yeah. So
it also can be having enough sleep.
That's true. There's all sorts of environmental and social and physical stresses. So that causes cortisol to rise, and then in turn, testosterone goes down. So you don't want to have a stressful lifestyle. You want to make sure your vitamin D is present. And this is true for all the hormones. We often talk about replacing menopausal hormones. Vitamin D needs to be there too in order for the other hormones to work efficiently. So you should be checking your vitamin D level. What level of vitamin D are we looking for, Corinne?
Well, you know, there's this fear that they've put into, and I remember when I first started giving out vitamin D, I was literally shaking. Oh my goodness, I might be causing a problem, because they put so much fear into us about elevating our vitamin D level. When I started this, the low level of vitamin D in normal range was 5.
Oh my God.
Five. Now the low level is 30. But when you're looking at protecting yourself, protecting in females your breasts and males, and maintaining your testosterone level, you need from 40 to 60 minimum. But if you go up to 90, that is okay. And you're not going to get it by taking walks outside. Not at this time, not at this latitude. And so we're going to really need to supplement and understand that vitamin D does multiple things. It does things in the brain that helps our balance. It helps our brain think. It also, when people have higher vitamin D, they have greater muscle strength. Now, that could be through the fact that they're able to produce more testosterone. What do you think, Carol?
Yeah, it could be. So next time, next on my list, I have boron.
Yeah.
At three milligrams per day. And boron has an effect on this carrier protein, sex hormone binding globulin, which is increased by estrogens, but it binds to testosterone, dihydrotestosterone, DHEA, preferentially. And boron helps those hormones get released from sex hormone binding globulin. It's thought that the bound hormones lack activity or lack some percentage of activity while they're on the carrier protein. There's some research to show that the cell can absorb the hormone with the carrier protein in some circumstances, so it's not totally a lost cause. But boron does give you the opportunity to increase your more readily available testosterone for your cells. Boron's actually very good for your bones, and it's good anti-inflammatory too. So something to think about.
Well, people always, or not people always, I first began to learn about boron as an estrogen support. So I couldn't understand how it could be a very important piece of freeing testosterone. Understand that when we look at our testosterone number, which started out at from 450 to 1200, it's now 280 to 900. Which is the range that they're looking at as normal. And why has it reduced? Because males' testosterone has reduced so significantly in the last 50 years. When I was in training, when people's testosterone was under 400, and I think it was 480, under 400, we then had to look at instructed to look for problems, immune deficiencies.
Yeah.
Now, it's not unusual to see someone come in at 280. Younger men.
And they do have immune system deficiencies and allergies.
But so boron.
But they're normal.
But they're normal. So we have to understand that when you look at the number of testosterone, that's not the number of usable or active testosterone. Only 2%, generally 98% is bound with the carrier protein, sex hormone binding globulin, and 2% is free and able to be utilized. Well, taking boron doesn't build your estrogen. It kind of balances your hormone and frees your testosterone from sex hormone binding globulin. And what happens is it increases your usable testosterone and allows your testosterone to be more bioavailable.
Okay.
Oh, magnesium. Can we say enough about it? We could do a whole show on that. I'm going to give the phone number out again. 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So magnesium increases free and total testosterone values in sedentary and in athletic males. So it's good for everyone. And everyone that wants testosterone balance and those that don't even care about it, there's nothing And those that want rest, those that want sleep, those that want correct muscle function, magnesium is the go-to mineral. So how about DHEA?
Okay, DHEA is a precursor. It's your body's most abundant steroidal hormone. By steroidal hormone, I mean those hormones that our body makes from cholesterol. They have a particular structure. It's called a steroid. And this is in opposition to the synthetic molecules created that are steroidal-like that we have all sorts of problems with. DHEA declines in a direct downward slope as we age. So we're not able to make as much estrogen or testosterone from it. Men do make testosterone out of DHEA, but it's actually much more common that women make testosterone out of DHEA.
It's
more readily. It's very, very interesting. So it's
go on.
Yeah, it's not the best. Dr. Clearfield recommends doses of 50 to 100 milligrams a day.
That's in males.
That's in males. In females, I would say more like maybe 10 to 25, pretty average. Also pregnenolone.
Let me just finish talking about DHEA. In my experience, what I found with people, when I first learned about DHEA, I had many, many women with very low testosterone. So rather than give them direct testosterone, I started giving them DHEA. Interesting. They felt better. They felt clearer. They had more energy. They were able to exercise better. I look at their blood test. I saw no increase in testosterone in multiple women that I worked with, but yet they felt better. So I never saw the rise that you're talking about. In males, I saw the rise. I could see it. I could document it. But in females, not at all. So I don't know what was happening, but I never saw that. And I did this for a while. DHEA I find very, very effective, not for building up testosterone, but assisting people with autoimmune disease, lupus. Uh-huh. High doses of DHEA with lupus I found very, very effective in terms of bringing down the inflammation and some of the pain and joint pain that they experience.
Somebody was bringing to the FDA, they wanted to get DHEA approved for lupus in a dose of 200 milligrams per day. But this has gotten stalled someplace, so I don't really know what happened to it.
Well, what I learned was up to 100 per day. And that's a lot. That's a lot. So, you know, you want to watch people that they don't get pimples or anything like that, but they get those side effects when their testosterone goes up too high. But at the same time, that's not what I've seen.
Uh-huh.
So you were talking about pregnenolone, Carol?
Pregnenolone's a precursor to DHEA and progesterone. So it's one step away from cholesterol. It's very, so it has to be there. As I mentioned before, if your testosterone is really low, your cholesterol might be high because you're trying to make more. And if you start filling in some of these intermediate hormones, cholesterol can't come down because you're getting your hormones made. So before you jump into a statin, looking at your tests, you should try to figure out what is the underlying reason for cholesterol being elevated? You don't test a pregnant woman for cholesterol because it's going to be high. If she's making a whole another body, there's a good reason for it. You don't want to stop that process. If you have an injury and you're healing, your cholesterol is going to go up. If you had sex the night before, your cholesterol is going to go up.
Well, then that's a limited range of people that we can check.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, there are other ways to increase testosterone. And one of them, like we said, is good sleep. But also melatonin assists. When it assists with the quality of sleep, but it also consequently, when the quality of sleep enhances, then the testosterone goes up. But then there's some herbs, and I learned in listening to this lecture, there are some of these that I was not familiar with in relationship to testosterone. So I'll share it. We'll share these with the audience. And the number, the first one, blah, 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 is mucuna purens, And it's interesting because when I first heard about that herb, I heard of it as mental clarity and kind of energy and helping the brain. But what we find now that it helps with testosterone, increased testosterone, it helps with dopamine levels so people feel better. And it helps with sperm count and motility in infertile men. It doesn't act as much on the testosterone as it helps with sperm count and sperm motility. But people feel better when they take it. And the sperm count and motility were significantly recovered in infertile men after treatment. And I was not aware of that. How about you, Carol?
Yeah, me either. Ashwagandha. This is something I learned about ashwagandha. And it's one of the adaptogenic herbs, meaning when you say adaptogenic, it means it's got a structure in it, a plant steroid that's very similar. Corinne, there's some noise on your end with papers or something.
Okay.
So ashwagandha, Dr. Clearfield said it increased LH. And I didn't know about that. LH is luteinizing hormone. And it comes from your pituitary gland. And it stimulates your sex glands. It stimulates the production of progesterone. And it stimulates the production of testosterone. So that was a new thing to me. How about, what do you know about Shilajit?
You know what? That's something that I had not been aware of at all. I was not familiar with that herb. And so you can take that one.
Okay.
Oh, well, here. Well, I've got to pay a little thing. It significantly increases testosterone and free testosterone and DHEA versus placebo. And it maintains an even LH and FSH. So they talk about Shilajit. It's 250 milligrams two times a day. It's an Ayurvedic herb. And so, like I said, I hadn't been familiar with it. But they put that together with ashwagandha. Now, ashwagandha, many people don't feel the results that they should with ashwagandha. And part of it is that the dose is too small. You need a minimum of 300 milligrams two times a day. And you need a concentrated or pure form of ashwagandha. And that's where you'll see the differences. It boosts anabolic processes, increasing vitality and muscle growth and allowing more free T to circulate freely inside the cells. So both of these, Shilajit, and ashwagandha release testosterone from sex hormone binding globulin. And that's really important. Do you know, years ago, when I learned about sex hormone binding globulin, and I would see many people with a very elevated sex hormone binding globulin. And I learned at a couple of conferences that if you use iodine, sex hormone binding globulin would go down. And I would use iodine and I would see no changes in sex hormone binding globulin. But now with this, I'm getting two or three things that are very influential in changing that sex and making the testosterone that you have in your body more available to your body for use.
Cool. Corinne, we have a caller.
Yay. Hi.
Hello.
You're live. Your question, please. Your name, first of all.
Oh, it's Cruz.
Okay, can you speak a little bit louder, please?
Yes, it's Cruz. Can you hear me?
Cruz, yes. Yeah, we can.
Great. So my question is if you ladies are familiar with the herb called Moringa?
Yes.
Okay. For cholesterol reduction, is it good? Can I combine it? Because I have other digestive herbs like the marshmallow root that I'm taking and the licorice root, some of them. Is that okay to combine those while I'm taking?
Combine them as you're doing, or are you thinking about putting it together with something else?
More or less at different times, obviously, because the marshmallow root is taken, you know, at a certain time of the day before you eat, and, you know, every root has its own, these herbs have a different, you know, time that you're supposed to be taking. But the Moringa, is it best to take it in the morning on an empty stomach or, you know, add it to something?
For the most part, when you're using herbs, adding it to your food or just before you're eating is a plus because that puts all the digestive juices going,
okay.
So you assimilate it better. Moringa does have some anabolic effect, helping you build up your muscle. So it wasn't mentioned by Dr. Clearfield, but
no.
It probably could have been. So it's a very useful herb. Although I don't know if it's the best for trying to raise your testosterone or not in this context. I don't know.
Yeah. Moringa that I'm now, you know, what's happening is many of the herbs, when they're first introduced, they're introduced for one purpose and then studies and they happen on them and then their uses broaden because you have a better understanding of how the herb works and how it's affected. So what Moringa, when it was introduced, was for the brain. For mental focus, for the brain, for assisting. So I have really no knowledge of Moringa in relationship to cholesterol. So I apologize.
Yeah.
Can't answer that.
Okay.
So, go on.
No, let's go on from here.
Okay. We have another caller?
No.
Hi.
No.
Hi. You're live.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Your name, please?
James.
Hi, James.
Hi. First, I want to ask, what was the name of the book from Dr. Clearfield?
Oh, no book.
It was lectures we went to.
It was a lecture that he gave a couple weeks ago. For allergy research. So if you looked at Dr. William Clearfield and allergy research on YouTube, you can find it. He's done that lecture previously. He said it was not a new PowerPoint for him.
Okay. And the other thing is that when you said that it's the animal proteins that help raise the testosterone, isn't it true that most of the reason why vegetarians have a problem with their protein intake is because it's low in leucine, and that if you supplement with leucine, you will get as good quality of protein as from vegetarian sources that you would from animal sources.
You bring up a good question. That's one of the branch chain amino acids. Yeah, and it's very popular to be supplementing with those when people are interested in going to the gym and helping rebuild their body. But and I don't know the answer to your question.
Build their growth hormone level.
I'm sorry, what?
And build their growth hormone level. Right. The branch chain amino acids are very supportive of building growth hormone level, which in turn would bring up your testosterone level. So are you familiar, Carol, with just leucine as a balancer for?
No, that's what I thought. I had never heard that.
I'm not either. And another thing that would be important for vegetarians would be carnitine, L-carnitine, because that also, vegetarians are very low in that. And that's a carrier molecule for essential fats to get into the cells to be used as energy. So I would have to look up that, and I will be glad to, and I'm actually quite interested in it. And see. So thank you for your question.
Before you go, there's something, you ever hear of HMB?
Not on our list from this lecture, but
well,
that's one.
HMB is a metabolite of leucine. So when you ingest leucine, it metabolizes it into HMB.
Okay.
And you can take HMB by itself, and that alone will produce more muscle mass by taking about, I think it's 3,000 milligrams per day. So
I understand that, but I always have my concerns. But we've got four listeners. Please stay on the line. We'll get to you as quickly as possible. But I always have my concerns about overloading one amino acid or another amino acid. I feel like what the body really wants a degree of balance, and we can create that balance with the way we eat. So I think that I have my concern. I used to do lots of amino acid testing, and I'd see these total imbalances in amino acids, which in the long run are not the healthiest for you. If you're in a deficiency and you do leucine, I think that could be very beneficial. But if that's not your problem, I've got a long story on that one, but we've got four people calling on an amino acid test that we were doing on a bodybuilder that could not build muscle, and he was deficient, and they kept on giving him more protein and more proteins and these proteins and that proteins, and we took a test on him and found one single protein low. We cut out all the other protein, gave him a little bit of that, and he started building up again. So just giving high doses of one amino acid, I don't think it benefits you. That's my opinion. I don't know what Carol thinks about it. But thank you so much for your question. And hi, we're going to the next caller. Thank you.
Hello. I have an uncle who's 75.
I'm sorry. Go on.
I have an uncle who's 75, and they recommended testosterone creams or supplements.
Well, he's got a good doctor.
His wife is afraid because they when you do that, it could increase the risk of prostate cancer.
So he's 75 years old.
and actually, there's a Dr. Abe Morgenthaler, and he's written some books, so you can find some of his lectures. This thought that testosterone creates prostate cancer was based on an observation made by a guy who is very prominent and spoke a lot. He based it on observations on three patients only, And somehow it's become part of our, it's an urban myth. So Dr. Morgenthaler was working at Boston University. He treats men with testosterone for prostate cancer. So it's a thing we need to relearn. Every young man would have prostate cancer if testosterone was the culprit.
So what you really want to do and what you would like to do is maybe balance the testosterone with saw palmetto or with the pollen called chrysin, so that you don't have an accumulation, but you're creating a balance. And testosterone's very important for a 75-year-old that's low. If she wants her husband bright, vital, clear-eyed, and chasing her around, I would recommend she supports her husband in rebalancing his hormones. And it's very lucky he has that doctor that's even willing to work with him in that way.
And
so,
the other
thank you.
I just want to ask, they say when you start to use supplements, your body stops producing because it...
It doesn't sound like his body is producing right now as it is, or they wouldn't recommend it.
And for the most part, when you're using bioidentical hormones, and you top off your hormones, you don't shut them down. So many of the synthetics, one of their side effects is that it does shut down your own production rather than add to it.
So if he's being offered a cream, then generally that's a bioidentical. And so
his wife was just concerned at Christmas.
I understand that. And that's the fear that we're dealing with here, that so many people have in relationship to testosterone.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yes, it was a very good question. We're going to go to the next caller. Thank you for asking. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to ask you to speak up, please. Okay. And I'm going to ask your name.
Yeah.
Great.
I can hear you. As a vegetarian, what is the best source of getting fats into your system if you're not eating animal products? Someone was telling me tofu was too, it's not a very good product.
Not
for
fats.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, it's not got very much fat.
It's not
fatty. Actually, the saturated fats, coconut oil and organic palm oil
and
would be the best.
Avocados and olive oil. When you put those together and some seeds, you know, nuts and seeds can be very macadamia nuts.
Or pumpkin seeds.
Pumpkin seeds would be very good.
On the list for helping raise your testosterone.
Yeah, because they're very high in zinc. So eating about an eighth of a cup of pumpkin seeds a day can give you essential fats, but it also can give you the zinc you need to be able to make testosterone.
Okay, but no tofu, though.
I didn't say that. I didn't say nothing, no. I said, you're not going to look at those and depend on those to give you oils. They really do not contain the oils you need.
Okay, all right, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for your question. You're live on can... You give us your name, please.
Hello, I'm not sure. Am I on? Denise Crawford, yeah.
Hi, Denise.
Hi. It is well documented that red meat and prostate cancer. All right, the next thing, cholesterol. A lot of people don't know about this. I recently found out about it. In 1 month, the cholesterol is normal. The LDL, the HDL, and the triglycerides. It's called, oh my God. I can't think of the name.
Don't feel bad. We all do that sometimes.
Yeah, my brain is going, so I need something for the brain.
No, don't say that.
So I don't really care about cholesterol, and people with higher cholesterol up to like 270, 280 is optimal. And when I say optimal, that's for longevity. If you're interested in longevity, you want cholesterol high.
And brain focus, the ability to think, the ability to make hormones are all based on cholesterol. So what do you want to do when your cholesterol is high? You want to keep it antioxidized.
Are you hearing me?
You want to take vitamin K so you're not building up cholesterol and calcium in their veins and arteries. You're keeping your arteries open. You want to take resveratrol so that you're antioxidizing your whole body. So there's lots of things you can do. So
am I still on?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you're still on.
Yes. Citrus bergamot. And there's a one called bergamot.
I love bergamot.
Yeah. An Earl Grey tea.
Citrus fruit found down in the south of Italy. And everybody there very healthy. I took it. I didn't measure my cholesterol for a year. But it says on the internet, 1 month, it normalizes the cholesterol. And the other things, the LDL, the HDL, the triglycerides. And I've been taking all these things for years, taking chelation, no help. And now I cannot believe my cholesterol is normal. I wish everybody knew this.
What's normal? Can you tell us what's
normal? My cholesterol.
And yeah, people what say, is oh, it?
He's not I don't know what that okay. means. We don't know what normal means.
Yeah, what's normal?
100, 150 overall. I don't have the...
Yeah, that's not normal, actually. That's rather alarming.
That's a little bit too low.
Yeah.
We're not comfortable.
You know,
with that.
Somebody, I went to the hospital, like with other things. They were telling me that my cholesterol is high, a 150.
First of all, there's something wrong. Maybe there's a confusion in your numbers because nobody would say 150 is high. Nobody. Not even conventional doctors would say 150 is high.
They said that it should be 100 when it's 150.
No. Talking about LDLs or triglycerides, maybe a piece of your cholesterol, not your total cholesterol. If they said that, which I can't imagine they did, especially in a hospital, then there's a big problem. But I don't believe they said that. I believe that that's what you understood, but that's not what they said. That they were looking at something fractionated and found it elevated. I don't like triglycerides at 150.
The numbers were, no, I can't find the results. If I knew you wanted it, I would have had them ready. can I call you after and tell you the results I had?
Oh, you know what I see? I just looked up. Guess what? We're out of time, 100%.
Okay.
So I want to thank you so much for your calls. Thank you for your call. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Yes.
And Carol, this was fun.
Yeah.
I will be back next week. Next week, we have quite an amazing guest. And join us.
See you all next week.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.